morning, everyone. Please be seated for a few announcements today. The first is, I'm back. Well, thank you very much. For those of you who are wondering, where did I go? I was on my honeymoon / second anniversary with my wife, Heather, and we went to the UK for 2.5 weeks or so. We landed back in our house in London at 6 p.m. last night, so I'm in great shape this morning. So please extend all courtesy and Christian charity if I absolutely flub the service. But I've landed on this Sunday when there's a ton going on. So one of the things that I really, really hope is that you stay after the service for what we're calling a ministry fair. Churches like this are built off of the small groups of people that choose a gift or choose something to offer to the parish and work in teams to make things happen. Without the volunteers, this parish wouldn't be what it is. And so if you're interested in becoming involved in the parish in a new way, in a different way, we've got a few stations set up for things that you might be interested in doing, like the big group. If you don't know what the big group is, you might want to check that out and find out what that's all about. It's not that big and we need more people. If you'd like to be a reader or an intercessor to assist with getting the silver and brass ready for Sunday services, these small groups are where the church comes alive because this is where we interact with each other, build friends, and build community. So please consider finding something that you might be interested in volunteering in and check that out. And while you're doing that, John, did you want to make an announcement?
So I'm hoping you can smell wafts of chili coming into the church. It's all ready, and we want to invite everyone to join us for lunch. Nice bowl of chili, and we have homemade cornbread muffins. Julie and Sarah made homemade muffins, so it's going to be really great. And let's have some fellowship and break some bread. Please come.
One of the reasons that chili was chosen is because you may or may not know, but this church every Tuesday gets together and makes over 100 chili meals for the homeless of London. And so if it's good enough to give to the homeless, it's good enough for us to eat now, and it will be wonderful. So that's the reason that chili was chosen. There is another announcement that at 4 o'clock today, if you weren't sick of this place, we've got yet another wonderful thing going on, and that is a Holden evening prayer service. If you've never heard of the Holden Evening Prayer, it's a beautiful, beautiful service of music and contemplation, and it's something that I think the Anglicans of London would absolutely love. So if you're interested, please do come at 4 o'clock for a service of Holden Evening Prayer and reflection. The only other thing that I have to say is, while I was away, we had Anne take the last two services, and thank you so much, and welcome on board to the team. Anne is going to be an associate priest with special responsibility for family, children, and whatever else that Anne finds her way into. So we are thrilled to welcome you onto the team. So welcome, Anne. And so with that, let's take a moment and prepare our hearts, our souls, and our minds to worship God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We say together, Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open.
And let us pray. Almighty God, you called your church to witness that in Christ we are reconciled to you. Help us so to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may turn to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our first reading.
A reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with the bridle. So if we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It contains the whole body. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. And from the same mouth come blessings and curses. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? And can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The simple find wisdom. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The fear of the Lord is holy, abiding forever. The decree of the Lord are true, all of them just. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The precepts of the Lord are right, they gladden the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, giving light to the eye. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. They are worth more than gold, than the finest gold, sweeter than honey from the
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist and others, Elijah and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Not many of you should be teachers, my brothers and sisters. And I thought I left all the hard readings for Anne when she was here. No, it looks like I get one other hard lesson to do. James in this epistle reading is, I think he's wondering about things. He looks out in nature and sees things that we can all see. He sees that an apple tree produces apple, a good spring produces good springs. But he looks at the human condition and he sees that how with our tongues, with the things that we say, we can both build people up and tear each other down. And he wonders, how can that be? I remember I was probably about 14, grade 7, and a foreign exchange student had joined the class, and she was from France, and she called me, "Oh, Michael, you are so gallant." And I have remembered that forever. I loved that. She called me gallant. It was a highlight. And I remember being fired from a job being called flippant. Not the worst thing to be called, but I guarantee that if any one of you were to say, "Oh, our priest at St. James Westminster, he's a good guy, but he's pretty flippant," that would cut me so deeply, far more deeply than you meant. And isn't that true for all of us? Sometimes the things that we say, just casually or offhanded, cut deeper than any knife or anything that we could do to someone physically. We accidentally wound one another in so many ways and in so many times without even knowing it. And sometimes, more often than not, we never found out why that person stopped talking to us, what it was that we did that drove that wedge between. Churches are infamous for not addressing that and for causing problems and divides and angst. And so James is sitting there wondering, how is it that such a small part of our body, the words that we say, can cause such great building up and such great harm? Where else in nature is anything like that? And I think that we have to wrestle with that. We have to wrestle with what it means to build people up and how to be careful with the words that we say. In our gospel reading today, we had Peter and Jesus and the disciples going off for retreat. They're taking a break from their ministry. They're wandering to this lush valley where they can spend some time with each other and just relax. And on the way, Jesus asks this question: what do people say about me? And they give him an answer, a variety of answers, actually. And then he asks, what do you say about me? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. What a powerful, divinely inspired thing for Peter to recognize the Messiah in their midst. That's no small thing. Seeing when God is active and doing something, if we all had that foresight, wouldn't this world be a better place? Wouldn't it be easier to make decisions? But Peter gets that moment of clarity. He says, you are the Messiah. And then Jesus begins to teach about what that means. Begins to teach that, well, that means the Messiah has to go to Jerusalem, has to get killed, has to be betrayed, all of these things. And Peter goes, whoa, that's not what I meant. That's not what the word Messiah meant. You see, for Peter, the word Messiah had so many things attached to it. The Messiah was going to be the one who freed Israel from the Romans. The Messiah was going to be the one that restored things to the way that they should be. The Messiah was going to do this. The Messiah was going to do that. But the Messiah was not the one who would be killed, the one who would be crucified. Makes you wonder, what did the word Messiah mean to Peter? What does the word Messiah mean to us? In my trip around the UK on my honeymoon/second wedding anniversary, we did a lot of hauling of bags, and somehow the more that we went, the more full they became. We went with 2 carry-on bags and came back with 2 carry-on bags and a checked luggage and a few other things. It just added and added and added. We kept putting things into those bags. We kept putting things in that we carried with us wherever we went. Some of them were wonderful, like my blanket of the Bruce of Kinnaird tartan. It's a terrible tartan, but it's the Bruce tartan, and I'm a Bruce, so I'm going to wear it proudly. I loved it. Heather would not have been so happy carrying that around. The little tiny wind-up Bobby toy that Heather absolutely had to have is not something that I might want to have carried with me. We carry a lot with us, traveling literally, but in our lives metaphorically. We all carry the experiences that we've been through. Whether we've been run out of a church, whether we've had someone call us flippant, whether you fill in the blank, because you know what it is that you're carrying with you. Jesus, in the moment of rebuking Peter, invites Peter to empty out of himself the things that he was carrying and holding on to that were not of God. We only have so much room in our bags. And he was inviting Peter to make room for the holy things and to leave behind the things that weren't holy. Throughout the summer, we've been collecting bags, but not just bags. We've been collecting a number of things for the students of 2 schools in London that they could be given the opportunity to learn, to be filled with good things. And today we're going to bless those backpacks, bless those bags. But there's also an invitation for us to either take our bags, if you have them, purses, to lay them here for a blessing that's symbolic of our own lives, that we might have the room to be filled with the good things of God. And to lay at the altar, the things that pull us away from God, the things that divide us, the things that might cause hurt. And so let us do that. Let us bless these bags for students, but let us also bless ourselves and ask for room within our hearts and souls that God may fill them with the holy things that can transform this world. Let us lay aside the things that hold us down and hold us back. Amen. And so, I'd invite the congregation to stand. And in our service today, we've had the Word of God read to us through Holy Scripture. We've wrestled with what it might mean for us today here in this place. And so now we're invited to confess our faith. So let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. So at this point, I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before us as the pathway to salvation. Give your church courage to embrace sacrificial living. May we never be ashamed to proclaim you as Lord. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before all nations as a challenge to power and force. Give courage to all who stand for justice and peace. May all who govern serve their people with wisdom and humility. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before all people as a sign of truth and understanding. Bless and guide all who teach and inspire the minds of the young. May we set their feet on firm foundations for godly and fruitful lives. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before us as a symbol of hope and love. Give courage to all who are anxious or fearful in their sufferings. May the weary be sustained by your word. Today, we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Ashley, Gavin, Catherine, Brian, Carolyn, Don and Nancy, Dawn, Joan and family, Bruce, Mary, Sherry, Marilyn and Tom, Martha, Janice, Alan. Lord, you hold your cross before us at the hour of our death. Hear us as we remember with love all who have died. Do not be ashamed of us when you come in your glory. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share that peace, Christ's peace, with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
So during the offertory, if you do have any bags that you'd like to be blessed, feel free to bring them up and put them in this area. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the beginning of another school year. We ask you to bless these backpacks, briefcases, and bags that we have brought before you today. It's not too late. They will hold our best work as well as our rushed and neglected work. They will carry our successes and our struggles, our treasures and our mistakes. Give to those that carry these backpacks peace when they are nervous, focus when they are distracted, and energy when they are tired. Bless them with open minds and loving hearts as they learn and grow and play. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us bless the collected school supplies. We thank you, loving God, for the school supplies that have been gathered here for your children and for those who brought them. Bless the supplies and the children who will use them. Let these physical gifts be a symbol of the love and support we give to the children of our community throughout the year. Help us to look upon every child in our community as one of our own, helping them to grow in the love and knowledge. Amen. And for these gifts at the altar, and for the gifts that we offer of ourselves to God. Holy God, accept all that we offer you this day. May we who are reconciled at this table bring wholeness to our broken world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom, and through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Gracious God, accept his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, Lord, we died with you on the cross.
Now we are raised to new life.
We were buried in your tomb.
Now we share in your resurrection.
Live in us, that we may live in you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
And when I'm feeling lonely, and when I'm feeling lonely, and when I'm feeling lonely, there must be a God somewhere. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Now when I think on Jesus, now when I think on Jesus, now when I think on Jesus, there must be a God somewhere. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere.
God of peace, in this Eucharist, we have been reconciled to you and to our neighbor. May we who have been nourished by holy things always have the courage to forgive. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with each of you always. Amen. our service of worship comes to its close. But our service to each other and to fellowship and Chile begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.